this type of zine just inspires me and reminds me, like, a zine can be about anything. Don't overthink it. Hola and welcome back to Boss Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and on this episode, I am sharing my zine haul from Autonomous Zine Fest in Minneapolis. This is my second year going. I felt like I really refined my setup. Obviously, I had more zines since the first time I went. And this type of event is just so lovely because it's completely just people showing up. There's no registration. Somebody just puts out a flyer, like, it's happening this day at Powderhorn Park. And then it's a miracle. People just show up. And the heat, there was a heat advisory that day. It was so hot. And we still had an amazing turnout. We, as if I can take credit for it. No, I was just happy to participate. I met so many amazing zinesters and artists and poets and just thought thinkers. You know, like, and I will show you the highlights of what I found at Autonomous Zine Fest and what I traded for. And honestly, like, nobody goes into zines to, like, make money, right? But I am so glad that I have a large stash of my own zines so that I can trade with everybody. So in this episode, all the highlights of my zine trading and then how I read zines to get inspiration from them, because truly these events are amazing if you just are curious about a hobby and you want to get ideas. I think a lot of people, I notice that a lot of people don't necessarily go to, like, craft fairs and artist alleys, and they see and appreciate the art, but they don't really take inspiration from it. And I've realized that's, like, a unique quality in an artist like myself, and I believe other artists, is that you can see a piece of art and think, how did they make that? I want to try that medium. I want to try that process. I've been experimenting in this area, but maybe if I incorporate things from that, I could get to something new. Like, to me, seeing other people's art just sparks inspiration. So that's why I'm so excited about getting a zine haul, is so that I can have so many new ideas to play with in the next months and years as I work on my own zines and art projects. And I truly think, like, I will never run out of inspiration for zines because I can just look at my stash and see what other people have done and take my own spin on it. So we have to start off with my latest zine that I was showing off. And I think I sold a few, did a few trades. This is called Patio Garden Tour Volume 2. And if you've been following the podcast, you know that I have a Patio Garden zine Volume 1 that was last year. And I just illustrated my garden and kind of talked about what I planted and my hopes that I would get a crop, if you will, or a yield from my garden. This year, my biggest battle has been with the aphids. And I did let multiple plants succumb to aphids last year. I just didn't know what to do with them, and it was kind of overwhelming. So I literally, like, just threw away some plants because I was like, this is covered in aphids. I don't know what to do. And it was kind of scaring me. This year, I've been fighting back, and honestly, like, I'm fending them off enough. Like, the plants are still fine, and I have neem oil. I also tried the Dawn dish soap hack. If you're familiar, you can spray lightly some diluted Dawn dish soap on your plants and then thoroughly wash it off later, and that can, like, suffocate the aphids. I had mixed results with that, so I talk about it in the zine. And then I just loved the illustration I did this year of the garden and of my hibiscus plants. Last year I had one hibiscus and one rose plant because, you know, I'm a romantic. I was like, oh, that would be so cute if I had a rose bush. No. The rose bush flowered for, like, probably a few weeks, and then I was not giving it the right fertilizer, probably wasn't giving it the right sun and water. So it stopped flowering, and then it just became, like, a spiky bush. Versus the hibiscus was fine with just getting water dumped on it every day, full sun. It thrived. So this year I bought three hibiscus plants And next year, I'm already kind of planning my next year's garden. I'm interested in looking into like the more hardy Minnesota, like hardy hibiscus, because then maybe I could leave them to winter and actually not have to buy them again. Like they can just survive the winter, maybe. We'll see. It really depends on my living situation. So more to come on my hibiscus journey. But this year, I'm really enjoying. I have a red one, yellow, and then peach. And the peach is my unexpected favorite of the trio. Because I didn't know what the blooms looked like when I bought them. I just had to go based off the tag. So it's just been really fun to garden again. And then new to my garden is one of the spreads in this patio garden zine. New to my garden is the banana peppers, which I special ordered from a local farmer at my farmer's market. I noticed they had like jalapenos, serrano, whatever. They had a bunch, but they did not have banana peppers. And when I asked, they said they would bring some for me the next week. And so I made a special detour the next weekend to get these banana peppers, carted them all over with me because it was just like I had a lot of plans that day. So it was kind of a crazy detour. I had these two banana peppers in my car for a long time. But they are growing very well right now. There's little flowers everywhere. I'm sure I will get a good crop or yield. And I'm really looking forward to making some fridge pickled banana peppers. Pickling scares me, and I have a zine about it where I could learn more. Not my zine, but like a zine I found and traded for. But I don't know why I'm so intimidated by pickling. It's just that I didn't grow up with it. So it seems like a lot of work to me. But we will see. We will see what happens. I will definitely at least make a batch of fridge pickles. So anyway, the garden is going very well. I think people have appreciated my little garden tour, and I traded a lot of my patio garden tour zine from last year, just to like kind of get through that stash of printed materials. That's like the hardest part for me is like I don't know. I usually print only like 25 copies of my zines, and I finally one of the first zines I made was called "I Want to Be a Bitch." The story of a goody two shoes who cares too much, something like that. And I think I only printed 10 of those, and I finally sold the last two in the batch. So now I just have like my original print for myself. And that felt good, but it's just I don't realize like how small of a circulation I need to be making of my zines. I'm like, everyone wants this. Like, I'm gonna print 25 of these. And then it takes me like 2 years to get through. All that to say, I had a blast. And now for the more interesting part is like the actual haul. So the first one, which I think relates well to my patio garden tour zine, is this pollinator garden in progress, which was my zine tabling neighbor. This was one of her first zines she made. And it's just a great instructional guide on how to make a pollinator-friendly space, either in your yard, in your planter, or your entire lawn. So I really love this idea. I have a similar zine that's just talking about like butterfly-friendly food, but this one goes a step further to be like you can make your yard and your planters butterfly-friendly. So that's another one that I want to incorporate into my garden next year is get some pollinator food going. So, yeah, I have these zines categorized. I have my zines categorized. Some categories are bigger than others. The first category here is just cats. We have Cats on Film, which is a great like mini zine. It's just photos of cats, no real context to it, just great pictures of cats, I guess, taken on film. I hope they wouldn't lie about that on the cover. So, yeah, this one was great. I kind of love that the format of this one is horizontal instead of vertical. It just feels more photo booky to me. I don't know why. I have yet to make a horizontal style zine. I'm just so used to the vertical, like book style, pamphlet style. I'm curious of it, like what kind of format, what kind of topic to me would require horizontal. So More to come. And like I said, this is like, these are the thoughts I'm thinking when I see these types of zines. It's like, what, how does that inform my zine creation? And the other cat one is cats, some cats I've met. And it's literally just a picture of the cat and then some facts about the cat. The relationships are so interesting. So Cupcake, my girlfriend's former neighbor's cat. Say that five times fast. So Cupcake goes outside sometimes, very friendly, will let strangers pet him, likes to roll around on the concrete, incredibly soft for an outside cat. So that's just so cute. Like, the zines, I feel like I talked to a lot of people at Zine Fest and they were like nervous to make a zine, or like they'd only made one and they're kind of like, I don't know. And I'm like, you're making this too complicated. A zine can be about anything. Like, my friends and I were talking in our group chat about our cats and who our cats would be if they were human. And I'm like, that could be a zine. Or like a failed dinner experiment. That can be a zine. Like, any lesson you learn, any life experience. I mean, I made a zine in the last episode about the cat tour, which is just photos of random cats. I didn't even say what their names were or any fun facts. So this type of zine just inspires me and reminds me, like, a zine can be about anything. Don't overthink it. So the next category here is the purr zine, which I would consider some of my zines I've made purr zines. And if you don't know, a purr zine is like a personal zine. It's about you or something that happened to you. And so one in this category is a friendship zine, which I received as a trade because I traded with this zinester. They were like, oh, anyone I trade with, I give my friendship zine to so that they can know about me. And I'm like, I love that. I want to do that. I've been meaning to do it. Even I think it would just be a fun experiment to make one of these friendship zines, even if you didn't give it to anybody, because you would have to think about all the fun facts about yourself. Like, in this zine, they have little doodles of their tattoos. They say all the zines they've made, what languages they speak. Like, it's almost like a Pokemon card or something. Like, and I've never played Pokemon in my life, but you've got like the stats and the lore, if you will. So I definitely want to make a friendship zine. So this was a good reminder that that's on my list. And then this person, oh, and I will link a bunch of Instagrams and websites in the description so that you can follow if you choose. This is by IndigoLuck_ on Instagram. So this collection is called How to Get to Hog Heaven, a collection of streams of consciousness, media recommendations, queer thoughts, and creative endeavors. And it was just so cool the way they're doing this. Basically, they make a zine every single week, and each one is filled with like collages, writing, poetry, art, and thoughts from that week. This one has a color photo of a chihuahua with a cowboy hat on it. And then they take them all, put them in a packet, and sell it as like a collection. These were all made in May, is what unifies this collection. And I want to read an excerpt from one of these, which is Volume 6 from May 31st. I take my lunch break late on purpose so I can sit outside alone and ruminate in the sun. The silence at my desk consumes me like a beast and makes me feel dizzy with agony. Out here, the quiet is a blanket of comfort. It's too windy to eat outside, leaves falling into my open Tupperware of whatever the fuck was in my fridge this morning. A small price to pay for the solitude that replaces my suffocating loneliness. And then my container turns over and rice is in my lap. I just thought that was so relatable. Like, the silence at my desk, just eating whatever the fuck is in your fridge and having your lunch break. Like, that just really spoke to me. So I loved reading these. I loved that this is a little collection of weekly zines. I asked them about, like, their workflow, and they were just like, yeah, like, I've got a process down and I just turn my thoughts into a zine every week. I don't think I could pull it off because I have all my other hobbies and creative outlets, but I really appreciate this format, and like I didn't see anything. I haven't seen anything else like this. So I really commend them for putting it together. So that's the Persian category. The next category, it was kind of hard to unify some of these, but I'm calling this odd but cool as the category. First up, we've got a Culver's fanzine, and I am a fan of the Culver's fanzine. Okay, this zine is made by Hank, and that is all. It's got the layouts of the buildings. It's got this amazing recipe, basically. Delicious Culver's hack, hot and ready homemade cheese curds. Step one, buy cheese curds from your nearest Culver's. Step two, leave them in the backseat of your car for 2 hours up to 3 days. Step three, air fry the delicious Culver's cheese curds for 15 minutes and enjoy with friends. Amazing. Amazing. The all-time greatest Culver's review. Spankings. No hitting the joint before work if you can't get orders right. Happens often. Sad face. From Jessica. Thank you, Ripon, Wisconsin location for your service. And then a picture of the most beautiful Culver's in Ashland, Wisconsin. So that's that spread. And then we have a rating of the Culver's mascots. And commentary. So just amazing. And it's dedicated to Hank's homie Orlando. He loves Culver's more than anyone he knows. Like, it's just so sweet and wholesome. And that's like what I want from my zines. It's just amazing work on the most niche of topics. Like the Culver's mascots. And then we've got a part one and a part two of Thrift Store Genius, which is just great pictures of random ass shit in thrift stores. I'm obsessed with these. And it's just, again, like anything can be a zine. I'm going to say it again. Anything can be a zine. And it works. Like it. This is compelling to me. I don't know if it's compelling to you, but it's compelling to me. The last one in this category is the YouTube comments lately, a zine by Matt. Some of them are real old, actually. And the artwork on this is so amazing. I love the color scheme of red on yellow. And I'm not going to read all of these, but you know a YouTube comment section. If you're watching this on YouTube, I would hope you know what a YouTube comment section looks like. Just so random and funny and like just things that make you laugh. And I'm sure this took so long to put together because they're not all from one YouTube comment section. They're just a collection of YouTube comments. And I love how this is a digital, like the source of this is digital YouTube comments. And now it's a physical printed book, an artifact. Like imagine if this was in a time capsule and like YouTube didn't exist anymore. And like this was all that was left of YouTube. Like that's the kind of thing I want out of a zine is like capturing something that's so niche and like it has to be documented. And now I have it and I'm so happy I got to trade for that one. Next category here is questions. And we have two from the author of Thrift Store Genius, which is Creep or Not. And it's just a mental exercise on if fictional characters were in the real world, would they be creeps or would they not be creeps? So like Cheshire Cat is in here, Wizard of Oz, Dracula, Steamboat Willie. And I'm looking at these now and I'm kind of curious. It seems like these might all be in the public domain, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if they did that on purpose. But yeah, just a little interesting exercise you can do by yourself or with a friend. And it kind of reminds me of like BuzzFeed quizzes and, you know, like quizzes have always been like an essential to girlhood. And this was made by a man. But I think like the quiz format is kind of, I don't see it that often anymore, you know, like people just choose their algorithm and let the algorithm serve them up content, and then the algorithm kind of shapes your personality at a certain point if you're that chronically online, and you just get tunneled and funneled into something, some niche section of the internet. And then versus like the BuzzFeed quiz or any quiz format, that's you like actively choosing answers and then using that then to define your personality. Like you choose your personality basically. So just an interesting anecdote. Would I make a quiz format zine? I don't know. But I'm definitely, I will admit it. I will search up a BuzzFeed quiz here and there. And then sometimes they are so old that they don't work anymore. Like they link to random images or GIFs that just don't exist. So they're like super broken. And I just really miss the days of being able to search up like, which Disney princess would you be? Which Adventure Time character are you? I would just have so much joy like comparing my answers to other people. And that's like part of the instructions here is like circle your answers and compare and discuss your results with others. So we've also lost that with the algorithm driven internet is like we just can only discuss things that we've been served up together. Like I feel like this has happened to me where I think everyone's seen a video and they haven't because it's all determined by the algorithm now. So yeah, that leads us to the last scene in this category. Would you rather? 3 deep questions to make you question everything. JK, the questions are dumb. And I'll just read you the first one. Ride a pickle canoe or ride a cloud. And the illustrations are beautiful for no reason. And yeah, I'll have to link the Instagram on this one too. That's Vivian Sandquist. I didn't mean to get so nostalgic over BuzzFeed quizzes. And I will drop some lore here. Like, I was just, this is how much I was into quizzes. I made an entire, like, choose your own adventure map via Google Forms back in the day. I made over, like, probably close to 200 different, like, cards or steps in this choose your own adventure Google form, and multiple different endings. A lot of them ended in death, but like I had this whole thing plotted out in my head. There were a lot of errors to it, I'll admit that. There was a lot of typos, but just like the freedom back in that time, back in that era of just like creating a quiz and putting it out there, like I don't know if you could even pull it off with the current tools, because at one point Google Forms like changed their format. And I remember like the quiz like started looking really dated. And it's probably somewhere deep in my blog archives if you want to explore. But I think about it a lot because I'm like, I would love to do that again. But also I have no idea how I had the patience and the strategy and the planning to like pull that off at the time. So yeah, next category is the doodle category. We've got shitty doodles of NBA players I like, Timberwolves starting lineup with beautiful illustrations. I'm like mind blown by these. This should be like featured on the Timberwolves media. And then some skulls. And I just appreciate the minimalist formatting here. Like as somebody that has spent a lot of time designing things and designing like literary journals and poetry journals, I just have a hard time like pulling back. Say something. And those are Bobby's thoughts on the zines. Anything else? Okay. So after that Bobby interlude, the next category is story plus art. And I mean, this is a very common format of zines. Like kind of comic book style. I really like this one is called I Wish You Well by Mad Sparrow. And I really like the square. The square is just oddly satisfying to me. And I haven't really made any zines in a perfect square. So I just think that's like a great format that I would like to do. Heart-shaped zine. Are you fucking kidding me? This one's so cute. This was from an artist that I know named Svea. And it's Meet Cute, if you're listening, M-E-A-T, because it is like two wolves meeting up and like bonding over eating somebody. The artwork on this is just gorgeous, gorgeous. Could be a children's book if it was a different topic. That's the level of illustration and storytelling I'm getting, and just the color scheme too. But it's, and so that juxtaposition with like the topic, I'm obsessed with it. And then the fact that it's a heart shape is just so perfect. Like, it just drew me right into it. So I was really glad I could trade for that one. So yeah, that's a very common category. Then I have a lot of these poetry and collage style zines that I got from the Zine Fest. One of these, I think this one, it was like a wand. If you know in Minecraft, the wandering trader, this was like from a wandering zinester that I don't think they were really tabling, but they were just trading with people. And I was like, I don't think we've traded yet. So I got to have some of their poetry, and it's formatted very nicely, honestly. And then it's got a cardboard cover, which I haven't seen much of. So I really enjoyed that. This poetry one is called Poetry Postcard Poetry. And it's got beautiful illustrations to it. And then it is like a postcard size, which is super interesting. Like, I think that just inspires a different type of writing and art. And then the back has a little stamp. So love that. Like, just adorable. And that same artist also does this like water marbling print style, which was also just so visually striking. That's waterpigpress.com. Mixed languages, doodles. And then this one's, the format is just a large sheet of paper, but only cut into like four. So, you know, like, there's so many different ways to fold a zine that I think can also inspire the topic. And I do want to read this poetry zine to you. This is Minnesota, a Poem by Simone Parker. And it is the collage style, so I'll show you each spread as I go. Snow geese sew a patchwork quilt in Minnesota's prairie sky, wings stitching migration paths over checkpoints and border patrols. Blackened wing tips show us the way. The American flag melts onto the asphalt. On the beach at the feet of a grieving mother, razor clams come up to meet the salt. I light candles with my neighbors, matches in mitten hands. We ask the lakes how to forgive, how to walk down blood-streaked streets to get to work. On Nicolette, I take my boots off, press these cracked heels into icy ground. Could my body heat melt it all away? How many feet to clear the streets of it? How many hot mouths screaming? Overhead, the sun is punctured, snowy silhouettes like bullet holes against the flares. Look up, officer, how they fly. Borderless, can't shoot them all down. Can't secure something already rotten. They're almost home now, a harbinger of warming. The ice melts to come. My neighbor takes her boots off, her toes joining mine. We clasp shaking hands, pray to the deer carcasses on the highway margins, a blessing for this planet. Oneness, oneness, oneness. So this one clearly, like, just evokes a lot of the imagery from earlier this year with the ice protests in Minnesota, and it just feels very timely with the increase in ICE activity and the two recent murders from ICE in Maine and Houston. Yeah, I started listening to some of the coverage on those killings, and it just kind of re-traumatized me, honestly. Like, it was such a scary time in Minneapolis and Minnesota, like, earlier this year, and my heart goes out to the new cities that are experiencing that same suffering. Like, I can't believe that it's happening again. And it's just a reminder, like, we have to keep fighting back. We have to keep talking about it. I think there have been some like corner protests going on in Minnesota and Minneapolis, like, just to continue to spread awareness that things are still happening in the background, even if there's not as much news coverage. And then, of course, it bubbled over again, and caused more death, caused more community destruction. So it's a hard time to trust the government. And so it really leads me to kind of this next category. And honestly, this category is almost like a mission statement for a lot of zinesters. And this category is the more political zines that I have. And they really are about documenting what's happening in a paper format, in a physical format that can't be censored. So this one's called Balance Sheet, 2 years Against Cop City, Evaluating Strategies, Refining Tactics. Starting in April 2021, a bold movement set out to defend the Willani Forest in Atlanta, Georgia, where local politicians and corporate profiteers want to build a police training compound known as Cop City. In the following assessment, participants evaluate the strategic hypothesis that the movement has produced and tested over the past 2 years and reflect on the risks and possibilities of the next phase of the struggle. And this is on Crime Think, or from crimethink.com. So obviously, like, these are like really boots on the ground types of zines. And the next one here is Gays and Crazies and Motherfuckers, Anarchists in the Stonewall Uprising Towards a Queer History of Riots and Affinity Group Organizing. And like, I pick up these kind of zines because I think back to my history classes in high school, in college. Do they ever talk about Stonewall? No, it's like one paragraph, maybe. And then it's in this like undertone of AIDS, and like they just completely brush over it. And it's because it is a important pivotal moment in a marginalized community. Yeah, so I think I picked this up at the same table. So those are just a bunch of free zines that are, you know, a little political. And it's just important to like have these kind of documents, read them, obviously, share them, obviously. But also just storing them. If the worst case ever happened, you know, where like complete government takeover and censorship, we can have these kind of artifacts to preserve the history and continue to educate ourselves and others. And then I even think like, imagine if I had kids someday, you know, and I hear about them learning about U.S. history, and I myself am not queer. I am an ally, but I am not in the LGBTQ community. So I would like my children to be educated from a good source, a primary source, if possible. But like, this is something that's written from the community, by the community, and then for educating. Like, we are always talking about like, it's exhausting to be educating people outside of the group. So we can use zines to help educate each other and take some of that workload off of the marginalized people. And, you know, do your work, do your homework, read shit. So, and speaking of reading shit, this one is a summer reading list for Minneapolis 2026. Also very pertinent in the current time. So it's directly informed by the winter we had in Minneapolis. How do we keep doing this? How do we build upon what we achieved? Okay, so there is a URL for this one, so I'm not going to read all of the titles, and I'll put the URL in the description, tinyurl.com/readminneapolis2026. Some of the categories here are internationalism, abolition, anti-state feminism. So, and they have it organized in circles. So circle one is like about expanding outward. Then circle two is looking inward, direct democracy, left melancholy, and collective life. And then circle three is connecting the dots, technology, healthcare, health, comma, care, comma, resilience, and then energy transition. So I looked through this. I had not read any books in this list. And I mean, they are very specific, so I don't think you'd really find these on a book talk per se. And they're not really like a beach read, but I still think like I want to at least choose a few off of this list. I'm trying to read 50 books this year. I keep telling myself, I'm like, you can read a book in Spanish. You can read some books off of this list. Like, so I'm going to do it, you know. So this will definitely be linked below so that you can explore some of those resources. And then coming to the bottom of my pile, This one is just a very interesting thought experiment. It's called Choosing Artful Intelligence Over Artificial Intelligence. And this was also from my neighboring table. And she was doing a lot of cyanotype, but then also this one was, she was giving away for free, which is about how, you know, tech CEOs want you to believe like artificial intelligence is the future, but they'll claim anything to like make that happen because it makes them money. And so this is about artful intelligence, like connecting with your inner creativity and imagine how you can incorporate more creativity in your life. So it's like, this probably should have been in the question category, but it also just felt like kind of a broader think piece. So like, what's something creative you did this week? How did that make you feel? What's something you want to learn how to make? Who could you reach out to? Where could you go to learn? Like, just really good questions. Meta spent $800 million to build a hyperscale data center in Rosemount, Minnesota. If you had $800 million to support your community, how would you spend it? Like, just, you know, like, approachable ways to think about what's happening with AI without getting overwhelmed by it. And then it unfolds into this horrifying photo of the data center that she went and visited and kind of investigated from the outside, you know. But it's just horrifying. These things are popping up all over, sucking up all of the power and causing prices to go up, using a lot of water and resources, and they're noisy. So that's just like is kind of an intro into the discourse around AI. Then we have Zapatista Autonomy. And this is by Jerome Bichette. There is no conceivable form of liberation that does not also understand itself as the destruction of the world of destruction. That's what the back says. And I did highlight a quote in here that I wanted to share. There is then the matter of defining precisely what differentiates one from the other. The Zapatista experiment invites us to consider the following traits. Elected positions are limited to a single short term and are immediately revocable. Responsibilities are carried out in the collegial manner without personalization. Other bodies have control. There is limited concentration of decision-making capacity. It is being largely shared with the assemblies. And the presence of strong collective ethics and listening skills. But most important of all, it is the effective despecialization of political work, which rather than being hoarded by a specific group, is meant to be shared around as widely as possible. We must all, in turn, be the government. As mentioned above, recognizing that the elected authorities know no more than anyone else about public affairs is the condition for fully despecialized politics. So, yeah, like, I did not know much about this movement, about these people, and this is a very dense zine with like many cited sources, but I mean, it's just a great way to like learn about something that you don't know. Like, my strategy when I'm picking out zines like to trade or to buy, I'll flip through, but I do not like to read them at the table. I like to just be surprised and come home to like a bunch of weird niche topics. So yeah, like, I was just excited to like take this one and really digest it when I got home. So last one, ending on a lighter note, Astrology Basics. And it's just this adorable star pink cover. My friends talk about astrology a lot and I don't know anything about it. So this does not fall into the political category. It's just like, I wanted to know more about astrology, and this is a very like approachable way to do it, because I feel like if I googled astrology, you know, there would be a million different things about it. But now I can just look at the zine and, you know, learn about it in a more digestible way. So that's the last of my zine haul. Oh my god, I feel like I've just re-experienced the whole thing. And the last thing I want to end with is that I recently discovered the zine map. What? What's a zine map? The zine map, zinemap.com, a collaborative map of the global zine scene. Oh my god, like, how did I not know about this? until just now. It's because they are celebrating their first birthday with a zine map-a-thon. Zine map is turning one this month. Began in July 2025. More than 700 contributors across 40 countries and used by 15,000 plus zine makers. It's their first birthday, also International Zine Month, and we're celebrating the same spirit. So throughout July, you're invited to add a zine shop, library, or event. So, like, I've had this issue where I've been traveling and I want to find a library, or I want to find like a store, a bookshop, or something that sells local zines, and it's impossible to, like, you just have to find them in the wild. But this actually like maps them out, so amazing. And then, yeah, like, you can participate by checking if existing documentation and links are still working, community notes, adding a shop or library tags, and then everyone involved will receive a little digital badge on your profile and maybe something more. So I have created my profile on zinemap.com. I added that Reclaimed Pages is doing a zine event on August 1st. And yeah, I'm just excited to like connect with other zinesters. People can mark on their profiles if they want to do trades, which I think would be so fun to like reach out to a few people and see if I can get maybe a cross continent or global trade going, like, just find zines out there, you know? So yeah, really exciting stuff. Happy International Zine Month. I hope you got some inspiration from this haul and review and reading of this group of zines that I gathered. Tell me in the comments if you're inspired to make a zine, what kind of weird ideas you have. If you like this podcast, I post every other week. You can find out more about it at angelageorge.com/boss-memos or check out my channel. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.